Fresh manna fell to the ground as a gift from God while the Israelites were in the wilderness. This is what they ate for 40 years. It was fresh from the ovens of heaven, baked by the master baker himself. How the Israelites must have anticipated the taste and the smell of each morning's delivery. Just like the Israelites, you too can now experience the taste and the smell of fresh manna. Today, you'll be listening to Moise Retsera, pastor of the Kalamazoo Filipino Company and Kalamazoo Seventh-day Adventist Churches. Now, here's Pastor Mo.
What a great privilege it is to be here with you today. And earlier this morning, I was preaching downstairs with our brothers and sisters from the Filipino Company, and the pastor got quite spirited, and now I realize my voice is paying for it. But it's good to be here with you all. Last Sabbath, we talked about the everlasting gospel, didn't we? And today, we're going to focus on the Creator God. Let's have a word of prayer as we journey on. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for all that you have done and all that you will do. Today, as we approach your word, we pray that you will teach it to us. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you'll open your Bibles with me to Revelation chapter 14. Revelation chapter 14, we'll focus on verse 6 to 7 today. We are going through a series studying the three angels' message, as we realize that is the message for the hour. In this series, we're going to say why it is so and why it is the most important message for us to understand today. Revelation chapter 14, verse 6 to 7. The Bible says it this way. Then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and what else, my friends? And people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come. And worship him who made the heavens and the earth, the sea and the springs of water. And the everlasting gospel really started, well, even before the Garden of Eden, but it really took place in the Garden of Eden, didn't it? Jesus told Adam and Eve, do not eat of this tree, for the day that you eat of this tree, what will happen to you? You shall surely die. Jesus gave them a 99.9% rate of passing. Everything you could eat, just this one tree. But they ate of the tree. They did not die that day, though death started to happen. But Jesus took the death sentence for them, and he said, I will die for them, the eternal death that they deserve. We saw that the everlasting gospel goes throughout Scripture, that there is salvation in one person. And who is that person, my friends? In Jesus Christ. Now we journey on to verse 7. And verse 7 begins with saying this, Revelation chapter 14, verse 7. It says, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him. It is interesting when studying this, as we know this was written in Greek, but the word for saying with a loud voice, the word for loud and voice, are two very interesting words. The word for loud is mega. Can you say with me mega? Mega. We use that word today, and I remember hearing some high school young people say, this was mega awesome. Now, what does that mean if something was mega awesome? It was probably the most awesomest, I don't know if that's even a word, it was the greatest, the most awesome. We use mega as a means of saying something that is greater than something we've experienced. Mega. So the word for loud is mega, but it says saying with a loud voice. The word for voice, guess what it is? It is phone. When you put those two words together, what do you get? Megaphone. That is exactly what the angel is doing. It says, sing with a megaphone. The loudest sound Earth has ever made happened in 1883. Can anybody guess 1883? What was it that caused such a loud sound? Oh man, you guys get an A+. Yes, it was an eruption in Indonesia, Krakatoa. It was heard 3,000 miles away. Could you imagine if we can hear sounds from Indonesia today? It was so loud that it changed the temperature of the northern hemisphere. One eruption, close to 36,000 people died when Krakatoa decided that it was time to erupt. When it was recorded, it was about 180 decibels of sound. Now, if you were there and you heard it explode, you would have lost all sense of hearing. It was that loud, 3,000 miles away. Can anybody guess what is the loudest sound in the universe? The loudest sound that the universe can make. You guys are definitely making a sound, but I cannot hear. All right. It is, according to astrophysicists, it is a black hole. Now, black holes are big, so to speak. They have so much gravity in them. And when a black hole merges with another black hole, it creates the loudest sound in the universe. The sound is so loud that you do not hear it like a normal sound. You hear it in gravitational pull. That is the sound of a black hole merging with another black hole. Now you can hear that in here, in Revelation chapter 14, verse 7, it says that this angel is saying with a megaphone. In other words, the message he's bearing is not something that you ought to whisper to one another. It is as loud as it gets. He has a megaphone. I believe in Scripture there is only one sound that is louder than this, and that is when Jesus shall come again and the trumpet of the Lord shall sound. Because we know that it is so loud that the dead in Christ shall do what, my friends, when Jesus come? I tell you, if you can make a sound that can raise the dead, that is a megaphone. But here the angel says, he says with a megaphone, and this is the message for the hour for everybody to hear. He says, fear God and give glory to Him. This message is a radical message today. The first thing that the angel tells us is that there is a God and we ought to fear Him. The word for fear here is a word that we use to mean reverence Him, respect Him. Today in the world, respect is something that seems to kind of go away, isn't it? We don't have respect for many things today or things that are sacred today. It seems that everything that is so quote-unquote sacred, we're trying to uncover. But the Bible says, fear God, and do what, my friends? Give glory to Him. Now, those of you who are very musical, the word for glory is doxa. And we use it when we say a doxology. What is a doxology? You can make a sound. What is a doxology? It is praise. It is, so to speak, the culmination of praise when you're doing the service, the doxology. It is when everything comes together and you're about to end. The doxology is, so to speak, to give glory to God. Here in Revelation, it's telling us that we ought to fear God and give glory to Him. And it tells us why we ought to give glory to Him. For the hour of His judgment has done what, my friends? Has come. I remember reading and looking on Twitter. Yes, Pastor uses Twitter. And on Twitter, I remember seeing there in real time, so to speak, that there was a massive earthquake in Turkey and Syria. At first, they said it was 5,000 people that they thought was missing. Then 5,000, I think today it's more than 20,000 people. They were in the midst of all of that, families that perished. Even a child was born in the midst of an earthquake, found with her umbilical cord. You ask yourself, why does this happen to such people? It is easy to ask ourselves, where is God when this thing happened to me? Do 20,000 people deserve to die? Do people in Ukraine deserve to starve? Do we here in America deserve to be sucked out of our finances through inflation? We ask a lot of questions, but the Bible tells us what, my friends? That the hour of His judgment has done what? Has come. Jesus is paying attention. And the Bible tells us what is going on at this judgment. Is that the number one person who will be judged, guess who is that person? It is Satan and his evil angels. Judgment does not only happen in the house of the Lord, it happens the whole universe will be judged because God as well will be judged. Is God fair? Is God just? Has He done everything that He could to save you and I? Is God truly love? Let's go to this awesome setting of judgment in the book of Daniel chapter 7. As we see in there, that is a special event that takes place, Daniel chapter 7, verse 9 to verse 10. Are you still with me, my friends? Praise the Lord. Daniel chapter 7. In Daniel chapter 7, verse 9 to verse 10. In there, the Bible says, He says, I watched till thrones were put in place. And the Ancient of Days was seated. His garment was as white as snow, and the hair of his head was like pure wool. His throne was a fiery flame, its wheels a burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. 1,000,000 ministered to him. 10,000 times 10,000s stood before him. The courts was seated. And the books were what, my friends? And the books were opened. This is really God the Father. The Ancient of Days is seated. And how many witnesses are there before the court? Are there 10? There are thousands times thousands, and then 10,000s times 10,000s. And as all of these witnesses are there, God the Father sits. The court, notice the words Daniel uses, he uses the court, is seated. And what is open, my friends? The books are opened. The Bible further tells us in Ecclesiastes what those books are all about. And go with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 14. It tells us what the content of those books are. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 14. Ecclesiastes. It is the last chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes, just before Song of Solomon. Starting in verse 14. It says, For God will bring every work into judgment, including every what, my friends? Secret thing, whether good or evil. When the books are open, remember it says in there, when the books are open, what does God see? He sees everything. Every work, the Bible tells us, whether good or evil, every secret thing that we do, everything that we think, will be open before God and the thousands and thousands of witnesses. Could you imagine that? You thought you had a personal thought. But witnesses are witnessing. Everything is open before God. The court is seated and the work of judgment is taking place. And guess what, my friends? According to Revelation chapter 14 and verse 7, it says, "For the hour of his judgment has done what, my friends? It has now come." The court is seated at this time, and everything is being reviewed. What an awesome scene. But what is interesting, however, in Revelation chapter 14, is that the first angel, when he shows up, he doesn't preach the judgment first. Go with me to Revelation chapter 14, verse 6. Revelation chapter 14, verse 6. It says in there, "Then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having what first, my friends? The everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth." It is interesting that the first thing that he notifies, the first angel, he doesn't start saying judgment has come. He doesn't start with that. What does he start with first, my friends? The everlasting gospel. If you and I were to face that judgment on our own, how terrible will that be? You know, Spurgeon, famous preacher in England, one day there were some people that were talking bad about him and his ministry. And some of his quote-unquote disciples came to him and said, "Preacher Spurgeon, they're talking so bad about you." And he said, "Oh boy, if they only knew half of the story." What he was saying is that if you knew everything about me, it would be worse than what you thought the worst was about me. The same is true for all of our lives. If people really saw who we were, oh boy, we would be in trouble. You see, we cannot face the judgment if we don't have Jesus by our side. David himself realized this truth, and in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, it is so interesting to see that they longed for the judgment of God. It was not something to be dreaded. Today, when we preach about the judgment, we are so afraid. But in the Old Testament and the New Testament, they prayed for the judgment of God. For it was also when God would be vindicated. Go with me to Psalm chapter 7. We'll see there for ourselves, verse 4 to 9. Psalm chapter 7, verses 4 to verse 9. Psalm is almost right there in the middle of the Bible. If you open right to the middle of the Bible, you reach Psalm. Psalm chapter 7, verse 4 to verse 9. It says in there, "If I have repaid evil to him who was at peace with me, or have plundered my enemy without cause, let the enemy pursue me and overtake me. Yet let him not trample my life to the earth and lay my honor in the dust. Arise, O Lord, in your anger. Lift yourself up because of the rage of my enemy. Rise up for me to the what, my friends? To the judgment you have commended. So the congregation of the people shall surround you. For their sakes, therefore, return on high." In verse 8, it says, "The Lord judge the people." And what does David pray for? Oh, I only heard two people. What is David praying for? He's saying, "Lord, judge me. O Lord, according to my righteousness and according to the integrity within me. O let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end, but establish the just. For the righteous God tests the hearts and minds." If there's one person who we would think probably would not want to ask for judgment, it would have been David. David's sin were much far greater than the sins of King Saul. King Saul's biggest problem is that he was so impatient. When Samuel told him to wait for him to make the sacrifice, King Saul said, "He's taking too long. Let me do it myself." As a result, he got rebuked. He could not wait on the Lord, and he kept doing things his own way. And ultimately, God had to leave him. But David, when you think about it, could you imagine killing one of your best friends to take his wife? The sins of David indeed were very great. But there was one thing, though David in the Bible, he's called a man after God's own what, my friends? Heart. How could that be? It is because David knew one thing. Go with me to Psalm chapter 51 and verse 1 to verse 2. In Psalm chapter 51, verse 1 to verse 2, David understood this about God. And he says, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your what, my friends? Loving kindness, according to the multitudes of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. And cleanse me from my what, my friends? From my sin." You and I have to have that experience of repentance. In other words, our sins must die. The flesh must be gone. It must be washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. My prayer for you and myself is that when the books are opened and your name comes by, it will be washed in red. Covered by the blood of Christ, is it fair? Because Jesus died, it is just. But if Jesus didn't die, you and I deserve a full permanent death. You see, that is why the angel there in Revelation chapter 14, verse 7 says, "Fear God and give Him glory, for the hour of His judgment has done what, my friends? It has come. And now is the time for us to repent, to lay aside the dead works of the flesh, and to say, Lord Jesus, cover me with your blood." You see, when Jesus is in your life, you will pray for the judgment. Because all that Jesus will see is red. It is red. But the angel does not stop there. The last thing he says, he gives them three commandments in his message. He says, "Fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment has come." And what is the third thing he calls the earth to do? What does he say, my friends? He says, "Worship Him who did what?" It says, "Worship Him who made the heavens and the earth, the sea and the springs of water." The world today is in its condition because we have forgotten to worship God. We have forgotten that we are made in the image of God, that we belong to God twice. Number one, we belong to God because who made us? God made us. Then who died for us? God. We are twice redeemed. One, by creation, and two, by redemption. If there's one person who can claim ownership over us, it is God. I made you, and I died for you. Today, we have started to worship self. You know, the devil really does not care if you go to church as long as you're worshiping yourself. He does not care whether I'm a minister, the amount of schooling I've gone through. If pastor is filled with himself, guess what? He's heading to perdition. The Bible says, worship God alone. As a matter of fact, Paul had this burden. This is the last text to which we're going to go. Go with me to Romans chapter 1 and verse 18. The reason why we are here today is because we have forgotten to worship God. It is that simple, and it is that relevant. In Romans chapter 1, verse 18, Paul says these words. Now, as we're going to read this, we're going to come to a section, and I want you to compare what Paul says to the condition of the world today. It says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifested in them. How so? For God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like a corruptible man, and birds, and four-footed animals, and creeping things. Therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves." And notice this, my friends, verse 25, "who exchanged the truth of God for what? For the lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen." Do you want to know the result of that shift? Now go with me to verse 28. It says, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do things which are not fitting." Now, as we go through this list, tell me if our world today looks like this. Being filled with unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, meaning gossipers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgments of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice what, my friends? Them. Is there anything in this list today, in 2023, that we can say, nah, that's not happening in our world? Today, we respect our parents. There's no violence in Kalamazoo. We're peaceful. We don't lock our doors. People are very loving. They're so kind to me all the time. People are not deceived today. We see clearly what we should do as a nation and as a people. We are clear. What is the shift, my friends? Is because they worship the creature rather than the what? Than the Creator. Today, we try to make what we think of ourselves the gospel, and what God says about us a conspiracy. We say, this is what I think about myself. And if you disagree, then you're going against the gospel. But when God says, no, that's not the way how you are, we say, no, God couldn't say that. It's a conspiracy. It's not true. We call evil good and good evil. And today we are so blinded by what we think about ourselves that we cannot see Jesus in His beauty. For some of us, we must be born again. For some of us, we must ask the Holy Spirit to give us a new mind and a new heart. We think we are something, but we are blind, poor, and what does the Bible say? Miserable. That is not talking about another people. That is talking about ourselves. We are blind, poor, wretched and miserable. We need the exiles of God, the clothing of God, and the love of God in our hearts. I could see John as he's writing Revelation chapter 14, verse 6 to 7. I believe as he was writing these words, there was tremendous pain in his heart. Because if only we feared God and gave glory to Him and worshiped Him only, how much peace we will have as a people of God. I'd like to end with this story of a man by the name of Jimmy. Jimmy, he grew up in a Hindu family in England. Jimmy, however, struggled a lot with the mistakes he had done in his life, and he sought for a way to make up all the mistakes he had done. One day, Jimmy heard about the gospel, and he heard that there is a man, a God by the name of Jesus, that can forgive all of his sins. And Jimmy said, "I want that forgiveness of sins." Jimmy, being a Hindu, accepted Jesus in his life, and he was so excited. He went and told his father how he had given his life to Jesus. His father, listening to him, decided that was too much and decided to disown his son and told him to get out of the house. At that same time, his older brother, Jay, started to pray to the gods that Jimmy would be killed by the gods. Jimmy was homeless. Jay, his brother, being so angry with what Jimmy had done following Christ, one day confronted Jimmy and told him, "I want you to die to save the honor of my family." Jimmy told him, "Jay, I'm going to pray for you every day that you find the same Jesus I've found." One day, Jay was sleeping in his bed, and as he was sleeping in his bed, he saw a dream. In that dream, he saw a cloud and beings he could not recognize. Behind those beings, all of a sudden, he saw one being that looked different from all of them, and he was awesome. All that he could see were the eyes of this being and the fiery eyes that he had. At that point, Jay started to be really afraid, and when he turned to his side, he saw his brother Jimmy smiling, rejoicing. His brother Jimmy told him in that dream, he says, "Jay, this is the second coming of Jesus. Will you be saved?" Jay at that moment woke up from his dream and he was angry. So angry he decided to go to Japan from England and run away as far as he could from his brother. However, life hit Jay really hard in Japan and he wanted to end his life. But before he wanted to end his life, he wanted to know whether Jesus was real. He remembered his brother had given him a Bible that he had thrown away somewhere. And he kept looking over all of his house and found that Bible. He started reading the Bible, and he came to the part that talked about the cross of Jesus. That Jesus died for him, a sinner. Jay could not handle it. Here he was about to give up his life, but somebody had already given up his life for him. And there was forgiveness in Jesus. Jay, that day, gave his life to Jesus. Today he's a minister in England. And it all began because somebody was praying for him. And somebody was willing to stand up for what they believe. Today, at the end of time, my friend, you and I need to stand up for what we believe. And we believe in a Creator God. And Him only are we going to worship. Amen? If that's your desire today, to say, "Lord Jesus, I am willing to give you the honor, the respect you deserve in my life. I want to worship you and not myself. And I want to do what you tell me to do." If that's your desire, I invite you to pray with me as we consecrate ourselves to Jesus and His Word. Let's pray. Today, Father, we have heard by God's grace the megaphone of the Word of God, resounding as words of life and words of hope. None of us here today have to face the judgment alone. For if we invite you today in our hearts, Father, there is forgiveness in Jesus Christ. May the old man, that man of flesh, die and be nailed to the cross. And may Jesus reign in our hearts today. May we worship you in spirit and in truth is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to Moise Ratsera, pastor of the Kalamazoo Filipino Company and Kalamazoo Seventh-day Adventist Churches. If you enjoyed his sermon, why not visit him every Saturday at 1601 Nichols Road in Kalamazoo, Michigan at 11 a.m. or a church near you listed on strongtowerradio.org. This has been a Strong Tower Radio production.